This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We say good morning to Jim Donlan, Alderman Ward 9, and now Mayor Pro Tem. You are familiar with the office. Tim Davlin, I believe, had Frank Coons as his Mayor Pro Tem almost his entire tenure. What's the role of the Mayor Pro Tem?
Well, first, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for asking me.
Thank you for the donuts, by the way.
I felt like the relief pitcher yesterday morning when I got the text. I saw you just
bring in the right hander.
So I wish I could be the left hander. Probably a little more.
You'd stay around longer.
That's right.
Have a longer career.
No. First of all, I want to thank Mayor Buscher for the opportunity to be considered. It is an honor. It's one of those positions I think where you hope you don't need it. It's whether. If the mayor is unable to attend a meeting, obviously the mayor pro tem would run the meeting, and heaven forbid if something happened, I think the mayor pro tem is assigned to step in the interim, and obviously you hope to never use
that. Doesn't mean, though, and I think we found this in the Frank Coons situation,
right,
that it doesn't mean if something happens, heaven forbid, like happened to Tim Davlin and the office was vacant, the mayor pro tem doesn't automatically become the mayor.
That's correct.
It's still up to the council members.
That's correct. It's more of a ministerial. It had more ministerial duties, so you can the city can function and continue on until the council can act. So
off and running with the new council. What's the early returns? You like the chemistry? Like what's going on? Or still a little early?
Well, I personally, and this will be my third term, final term as alderman of Ward 9, and I personally feel like I've hit the reset button, and I'm excited about it. It's hard really to describe. We have new faces, a new mix. That's always good. I like the veterans that we have and that knowledge, that institutional knowledge is still there. But we do have some new faces and people that are asking questions that need to be asked. And I'm just excited about it. I really am.
I don't know. What was your title under Tim Davlin? I know now we have a chief of staff some would call deputy mayor. I think Bonnie Drew might have had that title. Anyway, what was your title?
Yeah, the title I had was executive assistant to the mayor.
That was
the title. Same role.
Right.
It's one of those positions where you really can't describe it until you don't understand it until you're in the position. It's all consuming. It's not unlike being the mayor, except obviously you're not elected but as far as every day, everything you do makes you think of the office. And I'll give you an example. When I would go on vacation, you need to be driving down the street and you'd see a stoplight and think, oh my gosh, I wonder if we had that stoplight that was bad on, XYZ street. And I wonder if that got resolved. And it was just this constant inundation with information and issues, and loved every minute of it except at the very end. But it was truly a unique experience, especially for a young guy.
You were not, though, the beginning, the first one. Somebody else had that. How long were you in? At least a year after Tim had been mayor?
Yeah, it was about, I think he went a year without somebody in the position, mm-hmm. after Letitia with Anderson left. But he always said that what that forced him to do is he got extremely immersed in the position and understanding what each and every office does. And so there were some advantages there. It's just he needed assistance, and I was brought on board and happy to help.
Jim Donlan, I would guess one of the challenges would be when you're the new mayor and you were close enough to it, even though you were directly involved as you were soon going to be, the naming of people, directors and things like that. It seems like it's a very short period of time. You got about 3 weeks. I guess you have to have something in mind right before election. But you probably don't want to go that to assume you're going to win the thing in a very close election and so on. Boy, that would be one of the challenging things to do is, A, who you're going to replace, and B, who you're going to put in that position.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that, and I've never been a candidate for mayor, but I would think if you're in that position, you focus on one step at a time.
Right.
And, of course, I mean, it's only you're only human to think ahead and what you would do and who I'd put where and so forth. But it's always interesting to watch as a transition period, and I think this what I've seen so far from Mayor Buscher has been her changes have been well thought out, and I just like I said I'm excited about working with Mayor Buscher and the team and the council. And one of the things I really appreciated that she did, and I don't know if any of you three were in the room when she gave her speech on inauguration day, but the focus was the board of directors, meaning the city council. and how much that, you know, she wanted to involve us and keep us in the loop. And I really appreciate that. And I know others do as well. It's good. Like I said, it's a refresher. We are in constant communication, and I just can't thank her enough for that approach.
We hear a lot the word communication. Some yeah. people think in some administrations hasn't been as good as others. How do you ensure that to happen if you're mayor? From an alderman, what do you want to hear? Do you want to hear it from Tim Griffin? Do you want to hear it from the mayor's office? What do the aldermen need or want to know?
Well, I'll tell you what we would do when I was in the mayor's office. What we would do is, of course, the mayor would always, he was always not afraid to pick up the phone and talk to people in the council and let them know what's going on. But we were, it was a different era. You had, think of the SJR 12, 15 years ago. It was, the media was so different. We would be inundated with questions from the media every day. And what we would you'd hang up the phone after you'd get the question and think, okay, who do I need to talk to about this? Meaning on the council. So what I would do is I'd get in touch with Joe Davis. I'd go over. I was more of a mobile manager. I would wander around City Hall, go from office to office as necessary. It wasn't just pick up the phone and come to me. That's just not how I operated. And I would go see Joe and talk to him about, here's the issue at hand. Who do you think I need to talk to? And sometimes we'd split up the calls, just depended. But you got to utilize your staff. You got to utilize your chief of staff. You got to utilize the council coordinator's office. And keep everybody involved as much as possible. Sometimes it's not because of the timing of it all. But you got to do that because I think when you get that feedback from the council, who knows, you might go a different direction, a better direction.
Are we all comfortable with the new firehouse locations and things like that? Are we off and running? Are they soon going to be breaking ground? Where are we at?
Yeah, the one that impacts Ward 9 in particular is moving the station number 8 off of West Monroe, which right. is by the Starbucks. And you all know that have been on West Monroe. You've seen how the engines have to physically back into the station.
Yes.
Firefighter stands and directs traffic. Not exactly the safest situation in the world, let alone all the Starbucks traffic that I know eventually will be moving to Fair Hills, by the way. But that location over by the Fit Club provides more coverage to the northwestern part of the city with that 4-minute response times is so important. And I think that's critical to the residents, which is what matters.
It may not have, and maybe it didn't come across the alderman desk when you buy fire engines, but I hope this goes away. I don't want any detraction on other more important things. But buying fire trucks, obviously, I doubt if one person makes that call. From what I hear and reading, there are a number of people involved with fire trucks, and originally that one purchase was going to be another firehouse and got repositioned, and now there's some question about the viaduct on Capitol Avenue.
Yeah, I've heard about that one.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. It's obviously that was done under the prior administration, but not pointing fingers or anything, but it's something that we have to get a handle on and figure out what needs to be done, whether it's reposition fire apparatus or adjust in other ways. But it's something that you obviously would not want to happen again, if possible.
Let's talk about the Wyndham. Where are we at? I thought we were going to be voting on something. Evidently, that has gone a different direction. Bring me up to date.
Yeah, if I could, I'd like to talk about how that project, just give a brief history of it.
Please.
Because I think it's important to have that perspective. Remember when the zoning request first came to City Council, it was, now there's essentially 400 hotel rooms in the hotel, I still call it the Hilton, but the Wyndham. And present zoning, existing zoning, would allow up to 200 apartments. Okay, if that was the course of action, so 200 hotel rooms, 200 apartments, there would be no need to come to council. Now, what the proposal was to make the new buyer wanted to make the entire building apartments.
Ah, okay.
Which would have just devastated our convention. It's devastated downtown. So as it was going through the process, it evolved into, we'll keep 80 hotel rooms. And ultimately, that was voted down by the council, that zoning request. And then it came back. I think they bumped it up a little more. But the question that was asked to the experts in the industry is, how many hotel rooms do we need out of that structure to be a viable convention city? And the answer was 200. So I voted, I'm proud to say it, I voted against all three times it came forward because it did not include 200 hotel rooms, which is what we need for that space and out of that structure. So the latest, if you want to call it a proposal, was for more hotel rooms. It was closer to 200. However, what I was prepared to ask, if it did, and it didn't ultimately come to council for a vote, but what I was prepared to ask is, where are you coming up with these numbers? Because what they were asking for was a new TIF district. Take that property out of the existing TIF district, create a new TIF district. First of all, that property would mean it'd have to qualify as a TIF district, and there's a process for that statutorily. And then they were asking for incentives and revenues from hotel motel tax, tax increment financing, I believe sales tax. And we have an informal rule. Typically, a project doesn't receive over 30% incentives. My first question was going to be, what are you including in your overall project as far as cost? And if it included the purchase of the property, which was purchased before COVID, I think in 2019 or 2018, that's not the way TIF works. It's just not how it works. You can't include old costs. It's costs going forward. So anyway, I know the mayor and others, Ryan McCready and his team, have had conversations with the owner. I hope something comes forward that's viable, because most importantly, what we need a viable hotel structure with at least 200 hotel rooms, convention space. That structure needs a facelift. There's no secret there. We've heard from conventioneers that have been in the facility that said that they either want to see improvements there or they're not going to come back, and that's alarming. But I'm hoping that we can have that reinvestment in the structure, and because it is iconic for
Spring. And has the owner made a presentation in person in front of the council recently?
No, he has not.
And we presume he's still looking for someone to buy it.
I don't know the answer to that. I just hope that whether it's him or a new buyer, that we have some reinvestment. And if it takes public involvement, that's fine. I would be open to that. But we're going to, you know, dive into the numbers and make sure it's right for the citizens and right for the community.
If he makes part of it rental, 200, let's say, rental and 200, if he makes, is he can set the parameters? He could make the rents whatever he wants to make it?
I think the rent question is that's probably the case. But, you know, as far as the good thing about when you need a zoning change, and if he doesn't go for the zoning change, he can do whatever.
Right.
200,
exactly.
200 right now.
Sure.
We said that all along. But if there are incentives or incentive requests, obviously the city has some leverage there and some input.
Jim Donlin visiting with us, Alderman Jim Donlin. Let's talk before I take a break and visit with Kirk Considine. Let's talk a little about, again, the sports park. Is the clock ticking? I thought somewhere along the line the council established a 90-day to start something. When did that start? Do you remember when that clock started ticking?
I do. It started ticking as soon as the developer and the city signed that redevelopment agreement.
And that was when?
It probably is about 55-ish days left.
Into it.
No, I mean, as far as time left, you can do the math.
Time left, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
And it's, but cause I believe Mayor Langfelder signed the agreement.
Okay.
I could be wrong there, but I know it was right around the transition time, so. And, you know, that's obviously been over a month now. So
are you folks kept abreast of what's going on as far as potential development, and is the financing there, or is that just something that you leave up to the developer? He knows what he has from the city.
The good thing is the redevelopment agreement has, you know, certain conditions, things that have to be done, breaking ground and starting construction. That 90-day window is important. Because if that's not done within that period, essentially the agreement goes away and we have to start over. But I actually took my son to O'Hare after he visited Chicago this past weekend. We went up there and visited with our kids. And there was one of those, I'll call it a bubble building, sports building, right by the airport.
Right.
And, you know, that's a part of it. And you go in other areas of the Midwest, even just Illinois, and see these major sports parks. The potential there is mind-boggling. I mean, it could change the face of the southern part of the city and impact the entire city.
I see that. You see that. And I'm not in a position to make that happen financially. But it seems like it's a pretty good investment if somebody wants to really make a solid investment. I think this has success written all over it.
Yeah, and you're right. It is a considerable amount of money. It's not just, let's go put some fields up
right
at the edge of town. It's not that. I mean, it's much more than that. And you got to make it sustainable. It has to be successful long term. And but these my brother is a great example. His my nephew Andrew, they spent the entire Memorial Day weekend in Bettendorf, Iowa.
Right. I understand.
And what are they doing there? He's hotel rooms, restaurants, and let alone watching baseball.
All right. You were involved in Shields coming to Springfield.
I was involved as a staff person at the city.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about that because that is obvious. I don't know how you guys did it, but congratulations, but got it done. That's for sure. Because what an addition it's been to the community. Yes. Was it a hard sell? Did Shields contact you folks? Did you folks reach out to Shields? And how surprised were you when they said we're coming to Springfield?
Man, I wish I had a great story to tell here that was super interesting. You know, I can't remember what I did yesterday, let alone something. You know, I just recall that Mike Farmer was our economic development director at the time. Him coming to the mayor, and they had a conversation about this company named Shields, and you know, I'd never heard of it, and he described it as sort of like a Bass Pro Shop type structure,
right.
It evolved into, remember, you had and Steve Luker, the developer, was right. involved, and Steve, I believe, is the one who originally brought Shields to the table, and I don't remember how he specifically got hooked up with them. But what was interesting is we were in the process of developing that MacArthur interchange, and so it evolved into this business district that was created out there, and as a part of it, the roadway and the overpass itself was wider than it was originally supposed to be in anticipation of not only Shields but other development on that site, including sports type park. So here we are.
CWLP, future. I mean, obviously we see a transition in various types of ways to produce energy and so on. Do we have a positive future for CWLP?
I believe we do. I think it includes the coal generating plant that we have, Dolman 4. It includes a variety. You know, we have a small inventory of solar now. It probably includes some solar and wind. Those things that are a part of any utility throughout the country. But you know, on the water side, there's some improvements I understand that need to be made. We bonded some improvements years ago and refinanced those in recent years to do some more, you know, water line and treatment facility improvements that are important. But, you know, the water department is, if you look at their budget on an annual basis, it's tight. And there's some things that still need to be done on the water side. I mean, Springfield, the good thing about Springfield, the municipality, is we control our utility, not only power, but water, you know. Water at times is forgotten. People think they see this. They see the, I call them smokestacks. See the smokestacks out by the lake and think that's all it is. But there's a lot more than that. We have, you know, men and women that are out repairing the lines on a daily basis. When we have storms, we're up faster than just about anybody in the country because of the work that those individuals do.
You've heard it so often, you're sick of it. People before you were sick of it. You think we're any closer to some final decision on Hunter Lake?
I certainly hope so. I mean, I've told the story even on this radio station before about, you know, when I first graduated from college and went to work at the Springfield Chamber of Commerce, Greater Springfield Chamber of Commerce, and, you know, I found this old map of, it was then old map of Hunter Lake, and I went to Mike Bohr and said, you know, when's this going to happen? He just kind of laughed at me, but I certainly hope so. We need to have that decision so that we as policymakers can then have conversations with the community about what direction we ultimately head.
You know, you mentioned Mike Bohr, and every time, I don't think he's mentioned enough. And I remember he came on this show and talked about a medical district.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Good luck.
Right.
Holy mackerel. God bless him, and God hope he's resting well in peace. What a good man. But he'd have to be, I think, pleased of what's happened to his medical district. And the development is unreal.
Yeah, I think he would be. Remember, he was involved with got involved, I think he was the chairman for quite some time.
Yes.
Getting it off the ground. There's so much potential there still. I mean, we can take that even higher, I think. And Springfield should be proud of what we've done there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And thankful for the investors and the Memorial Hospitals and the St. John's and the SIUs and Springfield Clinics.
No doubt.
And on and on.
The calls you're getting today as alderman, are they the same to the same amount and same type of calls you got, let's say, in your first couple years as alderman?
Yeah, I think it is. I'll give a couple of examples of very exciting things I get. Very glamorous job that
yes.
we have as alderman. and I say that tongue in cheek, but I really mean it that, you know, they're important things to the community, important things to the neighborhoods. And as an example, lady called me yesterday, left me a message, and thanked me for us putting up a stop sign in her neighborhood. And due to the Churchill Bridge on the northwest side being shut down and redone, a lot of traffic has been going through her neighborhood, and they've been caught up in the cul-de-sac, and there's no way out. People are looking for another through street. And the stop sign and the no outlet signs were important, and I think are going to help some of the problems and issues they ran into. They got kids in this area. You know, little things like that that make a big difference in neighborhoods. You know, a lady called me yesterday concerned about, she saw, I guess, Channel 20 did a story on a lawsuit that we're settling in CWLP. She was concerned about her utility rates going up, and we had a nice conversation about how those things do and don't impact, her overall budget.
Right.
But, people aren't afraid to pick up the phone and text. And one of the things I pride myself on is, and people may not always like the answer we give, but it's getting back to people as soon as possible and seeing if we can help address the problem.
Returning the calls, my friend.
Returning the calls. It's a Gene Callahan staple, and
you got
to do it.
You got it. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me. We're done already?
Well, but I don't want you to have to stay through all our commercials. See, and that way, because
you guys have those?
Just a few.
Hopefully, we'll be able to hear some soon.
News, yes. See, Paulie gets nervous. But when I break, like yourself, I'm over 5-7 minutes already. So I don't want to ask you to stay around and bore you with another minute. So,
well, I appreciate
you're the best, man.
Well, I appreciate you having me. And Paulie, happy birthday. Did you say it was Kevin's birthday, too?
Yes, it was Kevin's birthday.
I guess happy birthday to Kevin as well.
You don't have to go there.
All right. Guys, have a great day. Thanks for
Alderman.
Having me.
See you. Jim Donlan, Alderman Ward, and I have been our guest 24 before.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.